Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm Dave Custy, your host of Baltimore in the Global Market. My guest today is Joel Chazen, CPA. He's a principal at Hertzbach & Company, PA. He joined the firm in 1980. He graduated from the University of Maryland with a BS in accounting. He is a certified public accountant in Maryland and Pennsylvania. Mr. Chazen is a director of the Construction Industry Focus Group. He has extensive experience in the construction industry with specific emphasis on management advisory services. In this capacity, he helps clients evaluate financing alternatives, preparing construction claims, budgeting, and insurance matters. Mr. Chazen is responsible for the firm's quality assurance and internal peer review programs under the AICPA guidelines, which is the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, for people that aren't aware of that. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Joel.
Thank you for having me today.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a little short bio there.
Okay. I am a Baltimore native. I've been married for 32 years. My wife, Roz, is also a Baltimore native. We both grew up in the Pikesville area of town. We have two children, Danielle and Douglas. My daughter lives up in New York City now and works for The Economist. My son is a senior at Towson University. We're just local residents who were born here and, like a lot of other Baltimoreans, have decided to stay here. We raise our family here and we'll retire here.
Very good.
And it's a great town to live in, and it's a great city to raise children in for many, many reasons.
I agree totally. So let's go a little bit more detail about your history. Where exactly in Baltimore did you grow up?
The Pikesville area, mm-hmm. The suburbs of Baltimore City. It's about 20, 25 minutes, you know, from downtown Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I both went to the University of Maryland and College Park. That's where we met. 1980, I began my career in accounting at Hertzbach. And it's just been a wonderful place to work. When I came, I was the 17th employee. The firm continued to grow, and now we have approximately 150 people. And in addition to our office in Baltimore, we also have an office in Rockville, which is the suburbs of D.C. And as January 1st, we also have a new office in Arlington, Virginia, which is Northern Virginia, which is also the suburbs of D.C., but that's on the Virginia side of D.C.
So when you first started at Hertzbach, what was it like? We weren't as diversified as now.
Right. Back in 1980, as a small 17-person firm, mainly working with contractors in real estate and some medical practices, the firm continued to grow, not because of any one person, because the partners in the firm rolled up their sleeves and worked hard, and we grew organically. And we got into more industries, so besides construction and real estate, we got into manufacturing, wholesale distribution, medical practices, nursing homes now. Just about every industry you can think of other than banking is something, an industry that we practice in. And accounting is more than just doing tax returns and financial statements. We're management consultants. We help our clients manage and run their businesses. We work with them, in terms of getting financing with their banks. If they're a contractor, we help them obtain bonds from their bonding companies, everything financial for our clients. Different clients view CPA firms a little differently. Some were necessary evil, file my tax return, and that's it. Some don't make a move without you. Most kind of fall in that middle ground. They just know when to talk to us and when we need to talk to them. And a lot of our clients in the Baltimore area are family businesses that pass from generation to generation. That's typical of Baltimore businesses, $2 million to $30 million in terms of revenue. As our firm grew and more of our practice got into the D.C. market, D.C. is very different from Baltimore. It's much more of an international town, big in not-for-profits, which is a big practice area of the firm now. Also big outsourcing CFOs, which we do also. It's a little more transient, a little more international. So it's also a great marketplace. At Hertzbach, the way we view this marketplace, and the Mid-Atlantic is just a great marketplace. When the economy was tough, it really wasn't as bad here. The housing prices, were okay. Unemployment wasn't as bad. A lot of that's driven by the federal government. Lots of companies work within the federal government space. Also because of the Port of Baltimore, which, there's a tremendous port here. and doing lots of work. So we kind of view this area, one area, but we look at the Baltimore Metropolitan as one area. We look at Rockville, Bethesda as a second area, and Northern Virginia as a third area. And we're not looking to go to Philly, and we're not looking to go south to Richmond. There's enough right here. So here in Baltimore, our firm has around 125 people. Our Rockville office has about 8 or 9 people, and our Arlington office has around 21 or 22 people. You know, our office here will continue to grow organically, and, you know, we're also looking for the other offices to grow, and a sharing of staff and of resources, and, you know, once again, partners and employees working together for the good of all, you know, for the firm to continue to grow. One thing, you know, when I came to the firm, we were a very small firm. To understand public accounting, it's changed, you know, quite a bit. So just to give you some statistics, the accounting profession, there are 44,000 accounting firms in the country made up of typically 25 people or less. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of very small of CPA firms. So we grew, you know, organically. When I say organically, not through any kind of acquisition, we grew organically to almost 100 people. And in addition to that kind of growth, we also then got into some mergers and acquisitions, which propelled our growth. What's changed, accounting seems to get, like lots of professions, a little bit harder every year. Tax gets a little more complicated. The assurance services, where you're doing financial statements and keeping up with all of those pronouncements, gets a little more complicated. Small firms have a problem with succession planning. Who's going to take the practice over? And then also, small firms have an issue in getting people. You know, it's a little more glamorous to go work for a bigger firm. Mm-hmm. So because of those factors, you know, between the American Institute of CPAs and their regulations, which you mentioned what that is before, and the Internal Revenue Service, they're really driving, you know, the small businesses out. So that creates tremendous opportunities for a firm like ours. So about five years ago, we sort of made our first acquisition, which was a firm in Towson. Once again, that's the suburbs of Baltimore. And that was a firm led by a gentleman named Lenny Sachs. And that had a big nursing home practice, which is a great practice area because obviously the population is getting a little bit older. Mm-hmm. So that brought a whole new industry to Hertzbach. And Lenny's practice has come in and continued to grow. We've also done a small acquisition in the Rockville area. A gentleman named Jerry Lubier brought his practice in, and that gave us our first bricks and mortar in D.C. And then a firm, actually our firm is 65, 66 years old, actually a 76-person firm, Buchanan and Company, joined us January 1st under the banner of Hertzbach. In addition, McGladrey, which is a national firm, a partner, joined us, Gunther Brand. In addition, a BDO partner, which is the fifth largest accounting firm in the world, which we have a relationship with, Mark Edward joined us. So Hertzbach provides a great platform. We're very family and employee friendly, and a lot of people want to come work with us and play with us. And I say play in a way that, you know, it's not all work. You know, you have to come to work and you have to enjoy, you know, being around each other. So our firm that's evolved into, you know, 3 offices and 150 people, is actually become one of the largest accounting firms in the country. So around 3 years ago, the AICPA, which I mentioned and you mentioned, you know, they had always sort of done a lot of communication with 100 largest firms, CPA firms. Around 3 years ago, they said, well, you know, the next 400, you know, are kind of big firms, and we should start doing things with them. So they created this group called the G400, which represents the 101st to the 500 largest CPA firms. And someone from New York, from their headquarters, came and visited us. And they've been having, say, an annual meeting in Chicago every year, which I've attended. And I talked to some of the other firms from around the country. These firms, some have 40 people, some have 80, some have 200. But I think in talking to the executive director at 150 people, we're probably somewhere between the 101st and the 150th largest firm in the country, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting from this, you know, 17-person firm that I started with in 1980, we've become one of the, you know, largest firms in the country. Some of the, I think, very good things that we do, we have, for instance, a wonderful internship program where we take students from local colleges, Stevenson, Loyola, Towson University, Maryland, and University of Baltimore. And after their second, third, accounting's a 5-year program now. So after their, you know, second, third, fourth year, they'll work with us during, not just during the so-called tax season, but throughout the year, where they get some real life experience and they get to see what it's like actually doing real tax returns and financial statements and projections. And they sort of become part of the Hertzbeck family, and it's very successful, and most of them end up staying and becoming full-time employees. The other, lots of interesting things about accounting, believe it or not, I would say 40 to 50% of our workforce is female. And a lot of times what you see, you know, with our female accountants, which are all great accountants, and male or female, we pay the same. That's a little controversial.
It's good to know.
Lately. In CPA firms in general, you find as women move up the ranks and they get to the years where if they're married and they want to start a family, they end up dropping out of the public accounting and get into private. So we've tried to find a way for them to have the best of both worlds. So we have a SOAR program, which is really a flexible schedule, and allows them, if they can only work 30 or 40 hours a week, you know, because tax season you work 60 to 65 hours a week. All right. So if they can only work, you know, partial schedules, you know, it allows them to keep progressing in the firm till they can come back full time. And, you know, we really even expanded that even more to the entire staff, where we have core hours, but if somebody wants to come in early and leave early or come in late and work late, they can do that, you know, have maternity and paternity benefits, you know, all of those things to allow initially women, but really everyone to find a great work-life balance. So I think people are very attracted. The other things that we do this time of the year, because our work is so concentrated. It's funny because people say, what do you do after April 15th? And there's plenty of work, whether it's, you know, fiscal year ends or extensions or things like that, you know, 401k audits, there's no shortage of work.
Okay.
But we obviously, from December through the end of April, it's very concentrated. So in the summers, you know, for about 8 or 9 Fridays, we do half-day Fridays, which the staff really likes. And Fridays in the summer are pretty quiet anyway. And the other thing that we started out doing several years ago, we sort of set up a goal for our professional staff. And if they can work a certain amount of billable hours, you know, we sell billable hours during the tax season, we reward them with a trip. And this trip,
oh, really?
Yeah. So this trip, like 10 years ago, started off being like an overnight trip to Atlantic City. And we did that for 3 years. Then we took them to New York overnight. Then we found out that if the cost of New York, that you could actually fly the staff down to Miami, take one of those little Caribbean cruises, and, you know, because the cruise line wants you there to, like, you know, spend their money or our money, it was the same amount of money. So we've done cruises. We've taken the trip, the after-tax season trip to Las Vegas, San Juan, Jamaica. So what we do is we do it from a Friday to a Monday. I'd say about half the staff goes. The younger staff really loves it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to go, you have, you know, the Friday and the Monday off. And if you go on the trip, you know, it's a wonderful bonding experience. And, you know, so in order to pay for that, we may have cut out some of the other little perks we had. But, you know, our staff really likes it. And there are very few firms that do that. And we'll, you know, as long as we can afford to do it, we'll continue doing it. Because it really gives you to see your staff and people get to know each other who may not work together as the firm gets bigger. People that have a tendency, you don't work with 150 different people. You might work with 10 or 15 different people. So you get to see the other people, especially in the other offices. It's really been a great experience. Once again, we're about, you know, family and work-life balance. And so we think that's a really special thing. I think you find few firms in the nation or the world doing something like that. So that's sort of like the soft side of Hertzbeck. And as I said, on the more formal side, you know, construction, real estate, manufacturing, wholesale distribution, medical practices, nursing homes, not-for-profit. You'd be hard-pressed to name an industry we don't have a practice area in, with just really great people who know the industry. And as I said, our goal is to continue growing. You know, another thing about our firm on a more global scale is that, you know, we find that, you know, the economy is becoming, you know, smaller and, you know, it's global. It's kind of opposite, but I mean, it's a global. We have clients, you know, local clients
exactly.
that are doing work overseas. So around 10 years ago, we entered into a relationship with BDO. BDO is the fifth largest accounting firm, and they have an affiliate program. So they don't own us or anything like that, but we're part of this program. And it allows us, you know, to have the resources of this large firm. So as an example, if we have a client doing work overseas, there are various treaties and things like that. There are various things you have to know. So, you know, BDO, you know, they have their national tax practice. One of their offices is right in D.C. So
where are they based?
I think their headquarters may be Chicago, but I mean they're
U.S.
They're U.S. Okay. And as it turns out, the person who headed up the Washington office and then the Mid-Atlantic region, Wayne Burson, has just become the CEO of all of BDO, and he lives right in Potomac. So we have a great relationship with him. But when you get into some of these very specialized tax areas and things like that that don't come up a lot, if one of our clients mm-hmm. wanted to go public, we could do it with that. So, you know, if we had a client that wanted to do work in China, which obviously is becoming more and more prevalent. So that allows us to sort of reach globally, you know, throughout the world, you know, with our affiliation with them. Accounting, in some ways, for smaller firms continues to contract. And for firms like ours, they're just great opportunities to continue growing organically and also through some mergers and acquisitions. The other interesting thing that when people join our firm, especially people who have practiced about as long as I and they're looking to come in, whether it's for assistance in insurance or tax or succession planning, is I don't say, you know, it's our way or the highway, like an old football coach used to mm-hmm. say. We find that when people join our firm, they may have a better way of doing things than we've done it. And it really has become very eye-opening. So we sort of get the best practices of other very successful firms when they join us, and it makes Hertzback that much better and that much stronger. And, you know, I would also say we're a consensus firm. We're a firm about communication. Clients hate surprises. You don't want to call a client on April 15th and say, hey, John, you owe $100,000 in taxes. So my partners don't like surprises either, so we're very good about communicating and, you know, reaching decisions together as a group. And that becomes a little more challenging as there's more partners and the firm becomes a little bigger, but I make every attempt to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling one of my partners at lunch today, he's actually been at Hertzback. I've been at Hertzback for 34 years. He's been there closer to 40 years. And I was saying, you know, Steve, when I look back, you know, so far in my working life, to have the partners and the friendships and to really spend my entire working career at Hertzback, I feel as though I've been blessed. It's just a wonderful place with great people. We work hard, but everybody works hard. There's mm-hmm. no such thing as an easy business, just like, you know, you, Dave, work hard to build your business. But it's, no one, you know, like on Sunday nights, you're thinking about, oh, the week ahead, and I dread it. I don't think Hertzback is that place. I think people truly enjoy coming to work as much as someone can enjoy coming to work, to be around other smart, well-educated people, but also people who share common interests, who enjoy, you know, friendships. And a lot of, you know, our employees have become great friends. And actually, you know, as a firm grows, I think it used to be that a lot of times you would meet your future mate in college. And I think, you know, people get married a little later in life. And now the workplace has sort of become that. So we've had lots of situations where a husband and wife met each other, you know, both employees of Hertzback. And we're very careful about that in terms of appropriateness or not. And a lot of times one will go and one will stay. One will sort of get out of public or do something else. But there's been quite a few couples because you spend so much time at work, end up meeting your, you know, future husband or wife at work. So it's kind of interesting. And we're not against that. They're just really all great people. You know, another interesting thing, talking about this internship program, and a lot of people become interns at our firm, and they end up staying at our firm. If you've never worked somewhere else, you don't really have anything to compare it with. And we don't want them to leave to compare it, but, you know, I always say, like, the expression, you know, the grass is green on the other side. We'll always say, you know, people think the grass is greener on the other side. They get to the other side, there's no grass. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try to help them understand that Hertzback is a great place to work. And whether it's our work-life balance or the half-day Fridays or the trip or just getting to work around, you know, great, just nice people, the culture, the friendships. And we're successful at that. And we have very little turnover. We have happy employees. You know, no one in the office walks around calling me Mr. Chazen. I mean, everybody calls me Joel. We're all on a first-name basis. We're not haughty. We don't have airs. The doors are always open. And it's just, it's really, like I said, it's really been a blessing to work there. And we're a great firm. There's a lot of great firms. We believe we're one of the great firms in this area, and not just this area. We actually have clients throughout the country. I had an instance. There's one of my best, very good clients originally is from Chicago. His brother and sister are still there and have a company. And one day he said, Joel, would you mind representing my brother and sister in Chicago? It's a contractor. I said, of course, Bill. And, you know, we've been doing that for 10 years. And, you know, now we don't physically need to go to Chicago, although I go once a year at least. You know, the information just gets transmitted electronically. We talk, we Skype. Yeah, I had the similar situation where another client had a good friend in Durham, North Carolina. So we have a client there. You know, a lot of clients end up moving down to Florida. You know, we have, mm-hmm. you know, those clients. Connecticut, all sorts of different type of company clients in California. It's just, it's very easy to do that. I mean, obviously the bulk of our work is Baltimore, D.C., but it doesn't preclude us from having clients throughout the country.
BDO, you want to go international?
And BDO, we have the ability to go international.
Well, geez, you're quite an easy interview because I haven't had to say anything.
It's well,
and you've touched on a lot of things that, I mean, I think we could do about six shows. The thing that I found that was pervasive in talking to people in companies like you is that successful companies is the way that you treat your employees.
Right.
And you've seen the company for 34 years. You've seen how things have changed. The idea that you've been with one company for your whole adult working life is like you're a throwback to the early 20th century and such, which is terrific, you know?
Right.
And also you've been able to incorporate the flexibility of working different hours, which is somewhat inherent in accounting. I have an accountant family myself.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of times where you'll be working on your own or working with a couple people, and you don't have to do it necessarily 9 to 5, just as long as you get it done. So that's really something that's terrific that you're being able to do that. Tell me just in terms of your experience, just generally, how are things different, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s and such?
I would say the biggest change might be generational. When I started out in public accounting and a lot of my older partners started out, I don't want to say work was number one, but work was way up there. Our widgets are hours. We sell hours.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to work during tax season, 4 nights a week and on the weekends and whatever it took to get the job done, that's what we would do. I think, not that it's wrong, but the younger generation, you know, our younger accountants, they have different goals. You know, you hear about millennials and all, and
right.
that type of thing. A lot of times you'll read about accountants working 70 or 80 hours during tax season. I don't know who those accountants are. Maybe they're very small practitioners. You know, we have a 56 and a half hour minimum, which so you see people working the minimum or a couple hours more. You don't see people working in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm. Hours. Even at the height of the season.
Yeah, in the height of the season. So they're there. They're focused on the work. They do great work. But you need more people if, you know, they're going to put less hours in. And the thing I say about our firm is that the problems we have are not unique to us. Our young accountants are no different than our competitors' young accountants. The issues you have in business, whether you're an accounting firm, a construction company, a radio station, collecting receivables nowadays, personnel issues, you can't feel as though, you know, I'm the only one with this problem. We all have the same problems. So I think in terms of public accounting, what's changed a lot is this younger generation, maybe they care a little bit more about vacations and enjoying life and making the most of life. You know, maybe they're not about, you know, work, 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 and then I'll come a time where I can sort of rest on my laurels. So, you know, generationally, it's a little different, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just the way it is, and like I said, I'm sure it's the same in all businesses, you know, having the same problems. So I think that may be the biggest difference I see. You know, otherwise, it really hasn't changed. In our business, you know, we talk about debits and credits, you know, from accounting background,
right.
What that means. The right side's got to equal the left side. Well, you know, whether it was 50 years ago or 30 years ago or today, a lot of those accounting principles, you know, aren't going to change. So, you know, the work obviously from a technology standpoint has changed dramatically. I come from a time where, you know, we had these giant green pieces of paper and in pencil
Right.
And now so much of that is done electronically through software. You also find that as people are entering the workforce, you know, our interns and our young college graduates, Each year, they're a little more sophisticated in terms of technology. So now, like our firm and almost all firms, are paperless, whereas we literally eliminated our file room. You know, we had this giant room with files up to there. You know, and our document, everyone has a document retention policy. That comes from the Anderson days, you know, get rid of the stuff. But, you know, we keep things for 7 years, but believe it or not, it's all done electronically now. So we literally eliminated our file room and created four offices out of that. So, you know, paper is really becoming a thing of the past. Now, that's not about people, but just generally the technology just gets more sophisticated every year in terms of doing our work and just the storage of our work. A lot of the software is kept in the cloud, the famous cloud. You know, so, you know, we have three full-time IT people. We have a server room. But a lot of the products are really cloud-based now. So it'll come to the point where you hardly need a server. You know, I think those are some of the – I'm sure there are more, but those are some of the bigger changes. And, you know, it's not like it happens instantaneously. It happens over time. But
you've adapted with the technology. You've adapted with the times.
You know, every firm has to adapt with the times. The other thing I think is you continually have to grow. Once, you know, you say, well, I've got enough clients or enough of this or enough of that, clients will leave. Someone will pass away, or once in a blue moon you may lose a client, or clients bought. You know, you don't have a client anymore. So you constantly have to be out there talking to people like you and getting the name out and marketing. But you always continually have to grow. So that's really important to the future and to the future of all the young people that work with us. So that's why, you know, we see Baltimore as a great town with lots of opportunities, continued opportunities, but also the whole D.C. marketplace, tremendous opportunities for us. And we'll continue to grow in both in this one giant marketplace organically, by just bringing on new clients, and then also by doing some mergers and acquisitions. You know, as I said earlier, for all those reasons, the smaller firms are having a harder time. And we have great opportunities to bring those in, to work under the Hertzback banner, but at the same time embrace their ideas. I think we're a very user-friendly workplace, and whether that's for employees or older partners who want to join us.
What's important, clients see that. These clients see that you're working together. And
oh, absolutely.
Especially on audits when they come out there and such like that, it's not such a it can be a terrifying thing for clients. And such
You know, we try not to make it a terrifying thing. It all works together. But like I said, I think Hertzback is just a great firm with great people. We're really proud of the firm, and you know, we don't rest on our laurels. We service our clients to death, and you know, it's like the old expression, well, it's not, you know, it's not what you did for me, you know, yesterday. What are you doing for today and tomorrow?
Well, like you said, clients die, and clients leave just for no reason, too.
Right.
So you have to really stay moving all the time. And like you, it sounds like you're doing it in terms of locally and then nationally, and you're thinking ahead in terms of internationally, too.
Right.
It's just like that. Do you get many individual clients?
We have lots of individual clients.
I was just asking because do you get the guy that comes in April 15th with a bag of receipts?
Yeah. Well, the guy comes in April 15th with a bag of receipts and he wants us to do his return. It's not going to get done by April 15th. It's going to go on extension. Yeah, for a firm like ours, you know, we don't really compete with the H&R Blocks of the world and things like that. And they absolutely have a place. I mean, if you just you know, you work, you have a W-2. You know, maybe a little bit of, you know, mortgage interest and real estate tax. Anybody can do that return. You know, there's a place for that. You know, ours may be a little more sophisticated. You know, someone who owns rental properties or is invested in a partnership or an LLC. Maybe they do work in other states. A little more of a sophisticated return makes a lot more sense for us to do. I mean, for all of our business clients, we do all their individual returns typically. Most of the businesses today that aren't like public companies are typically what's called an S-Corp or an LLC. And what that very simply means is that those businesses don't pay taxes. The income, hopefully it's income, flows down to the individual.
And that
gets a little more complicated for someone. And once you get to that level, you're a lot better off with us, you know, filing the taxes. So if you have a gentleman who's, let's say, has a construction company and they're doing work in Maryland and Pennsylvania, maybe D.C., Virginia, just the local areas, Delaware, each of those states has separate rules, and it's hard for an average person to keep up on that. In accounting, there's a term called SALT, state and local taxes. And that's just not income taxes, it's sales taxes, it's excise taxes, it's things like that. Mm. So we have a 12, 15-person tax department that keeps abreast of all those things. When you get to that level, that's what we're there for. And typically those businesses have a bank, and the bank lends them money, so they need either an audit or a reviewed financial statement, or they may apply for a larger line of credit, so they need a projection done. All of those different things. Sometimes a client decides to change banks, and we'll help them, make that choice and see who is making, would be the best match in terms of what the bank's offering. So, a lot of these things happen throughout the year, and, a lot of these projects happen during tax season, and we get the special projects, done during tax season. Now, another big area for us are, because of our proximity to D.C., and in particular NSA, a lot of our clients are government contractors. We're doing work at NSA. There's, the rates that they charge, and they have what's called incurred cost submissions. There's all sorts of projects that we do for companies like that. And that's really a great area for us. Government contractors are tremendous clients. It's also very interesting because these clients have security clearance, and we typically don't. So although we know they're accounting, exactly what they're doing, other than protecting us, our country, we don't really ask them any questions.
No.
But, once again...
Must be a strange audit to audit someone of the NSA type.
Yeah, and they have very unusual names that they assign to their jobs, and we know not to ask. But, they're doing a great service to our country. And, like all clients, we're more than delighted to work with them. But it's really very interesting. And once again... if you're familiar with this area, so the NSA is on the Maryland side of D.C., not too far, really 30 minutes, 35 minutes from where you and I are talking. And, there's a lot of businesses that want to do work with the federal government, and it continues to grow. a lot of people say that Maryland is not a friendly business state. Some people do and some people don't. Obviously, you talk to people. Maryland has some very natural draws, being the federal government, the port, Baltimore for sure, affordable housing. I know that, we don't obviously represent Amazon, but they're building a big distribution facility here. Mm-hmm. Yesterday in the news, they announced Beretta's leaving.
To go to Tennessee, right?
To go to Tennessee for various reasons. But I think Maryland, Virginia are just continue to grow economically, affords great opportunities for us. It'll continue to do so. So this is really, from a business standpoint, there's a lot of exciting things happening. Mm-hmm. Right now one of the big issues is the relocation of the FBI, whether it's going to end up in PG County on the Maryland side or in Northern Virginia. That's 12,000 employees. So, I mean, obviously, to either state, that's going to be an economic boom. And, you build a new complex with all those people, it's going to be surrounded by whether it's restaurants or banks or things like that or real estate. So, obviously, the real estate people will do well. So, when those things happen and, at Hertzback, I think we're in Maryland and Virginia. So we have both sides covered. For those people in the audience who really aren't familiar with Baltimore, D.C., this really is a great place to bring your business, to do work in. There are great accountants here, and there's, great sports teams. And, it's really a great place mm-hmm. to live. We're 3 hours from the ocean, and we're not far from the mountains if you like to ski. Get on a train, and you can be in New York in less than 3 hours, which I know because my wife and I visit my daughter, who lives on the Upper West Side of Manhattan now, 3 or 4 times a year. So it really is a great place.
Location.
It is a great location. The only negative I would have to say is when I got in, this past winter was a tough winter. When I got in my car one day and it was 1 degree, I thought, where am I?
Yeah.
But hopefully that was an aberration. Hopefully that was an aberration, and the rest of the winters won't be quite like that. I said, I've been blessed to be at Hertzback and, blessed that, my ancestors decided to immigrate to Baltimore generations ago.
But this is basically an introduction. You've touched on a lot of things, and I can see, like I said before, many other shows and different factions of Hertzback. Tell me what you think, where Hertzback will go in, say, 5 years from now. Where do you see Hertzback?
Like I've said, in the next 5 years, we'll continue to grow. I see us, really continuing to grow. Baltimore, we already have 125 people. And the D.C., both sides, we have around 30, 35 people. So I could see a quite a bit of our growth being in the D.C. marketplace. But, you know, it's all really coming together into one economic unit. I don't think in the next 5 years we'll have an office in Philly or an office in Richmond, which is like immediately mm-hmm. to our north and our south. I just think there's plenty of opportunities here. You know, we have a young group of people who said, I want to be in public accounting and I want to be partners in this firm someday. So we have a great leadership development program where we try to teach them the soft skills, you know, and also marketing skills. So we have great young leaders in place in the next generation, and we'll continue to build here. As an example, the firm in Northern Virginia that joined us, I believe, talked to 7 other firms, is what they told us, and they chose us. In most instances, when a smaller firm is looking to join a larger firm, and I always say, you know, to figure out to those owners, do what's best for you. If coming to Hertzbach is the best thing, which I would think it is, that's great. But if it's not, you know, you need to be happy and do what's good for you, you know, both professionally and also, you know, for your business. But typically, we become the firm of choice. And it's not just because of me. It's because of they get to meet a lot of different people and the services we offer. And when someone's thinking about joining us, what I do is I ask them to talk to some of our older staff members who may have joined us in the last 5 years, who really worked their careers, you know, somewhere else and then came to us later in the life to say, well, what is it like the last 10 years of my career when I worked 20 or 30 years somewhere else to come here, whether it's for 1 year or 5 years? How do they treat me here? You know, the things that they promise, do they deliver on? Are these the kind of people I'd like to surround myself and work with? And typically, it's all been very positive. So yeah, I think public accounting will continue to get harder every year in the tax and the insurance side. I think more small firms will be looking to become part of a larger regional firm. And I think that affords us tremendous opportunities.
You think you'll go more international, maybe with I know you can't really tell. But is it something that you would welcome?
Well, you know, as always, we'll go where the clients go. So, I mean, if we have clients that are doing more work internationally, we're going to serve those clients and find ways, whether it's through BDO or other resources, to serve them internationally. And we think, with the BDO affiliation and some of the large law firms that we have relationships with and some of the large banks, we'll certainly be able to service them. So will we be marketing in England or France or China for new clients? No. But if as our clients in the Baltimore, D.C. or other areas in this country do work overseas, we'll go with them.
Great.
And we'll provide all the services that they need, and we'll continue to work hard and not take them for granted and earn their trust each and every day.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, this has been terrific. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have too.
I love talking about our firm.
You know, it seems like that.
You know, it's a topic that's very easy for me to talk about because I really believe in our firm and what we do. And most importantly, I believe about all the people at our firm.
Like I said,
I've been blessed. And, you know, every day I don't take it for granted. And I go to work and I just surrounding myself with just. And some people I work with directly and some they're not so directly, but I appreciate each and every one of them. I try to say thank you as much as I can because, as I've always said in staff meetings, our firm is not about any one person. It's because of a bunch of people working together for the good of everybody to make a great workplace and serve our clients. And I truly believe that. And, you know, I could talk all day about our firm, so if anybody had a question or wants to talk to me or...
Well, that's the next thing. Why don't you give out some contact info?
So once again, the name of our firm is Hertzbach & Company, Hertzbach. You can go to www.hertzbach.com if you want to see us on the internet. And I'll give you my direct phone number. It's 443-471-2001. We have an 800 number, but I don't have it memorized. But if you want to call me, we're always happy to talk to people, to give advice. If somebody wants to throw an idea or have a meeting, we don't charge to meet somebody or, you know, to give someone some initial advice. We're always happy for the opportunity to meet people and talk and see where it goes. So you're welcome to call me. Once again, it's 443-471-2001. I have great partners who have lots of different practice areas and will put you with the right person. I believe you'll enjoy it. And like I said, we're happy to answer questions and help people out. I think in life, you know, if you give a little, you get a lot back.
I totally agree. Well, I want to thank you for being here on Baltimore Internet Radio. I've been talking to Joel Chazen, CPA, the principal at Hertzbach & Company, and you're listening to me, Dave Custy, on Baltimore and the Global Market on Baltimore Internet Radio. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, come back.
If I'm invited, I'll be back.
You are invited. Consider it now.
Then I'll be back. You let me know when.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Take care.